Well, it's great. I'm here this morning with Lynn. I'm married to Lynn, and we were all struck down with that nasty cough that was going around and left you washed out, so I wasn't able to come. So I think this is my first visit this year, so it is lovely to be here. I've been given this lovely passage about Martha and Mary, and when Barry was talking earlier about how we're all part of a team, and he mentioned, you know, the tea and the biscuits, and I was thinking about that and how vital tea, coffee, biscuits are to the kingdom of God, really, aren't they? There's very rarely you go to an event where, certainly in our church, there isn't refreshments, and how much hard work goes into that behind the scenes. And there's a lot of hard work, isn't there? How much hard work goes into, you know, the tech, the heating, you know, all this stuff. It's all part of the ministry, isn't it, that we share together in Jesus. So let me just say a little prayer, and then I'll share some thoughts. Lord, thank you that you've given us all different gifts, and that none of them are unspiritual to you. They're all a vital part of how we share in your life and how we help each other to share in your life. So Lord, I pray that you will say whatever you want to say to each person this morning, to affirm them. And Lord, if people need encouragement or challenge, then we look to you for that, please. But lead us on. Lead us through this week. And help us to realise that we all have something to share. In Jesus' name, amen. So the title here is Whose Choice? Because, of course, we've got these two characters, Mary and Martha. And they were very close friends of Jesus. They lived in a place called Bethany. And Bethany actually means house of the poor. So there is a theory that they were actually very hospitable and they took care of the poor who lived in their area. They had an open house policy. And certainly when it came to Jesus and his friends, they had an open house policy. It was a place Jesus could go when the crowds were after him, when he was exhausted, when he was approaching Good Friday and all the terror of that. It was a place he could go. I don't know if you have people you can go to when you just need to offload or you just need to be with somebody to give you support. Maybe even someone you don't even have to say anything to. You don't have to explain yourself. Well, that was Mary, Martha, and their brother Lazarus. That was a place Jesus went to time, just to get some space. I think here I've got the... it's all frozen again. Sorry, let me just go back and wake it up. It keeps freezing. Let's see if that works now. There's Mary and Martha there, but I'm going to go back. Oh dear, I love technology, but not when it not when it complains like that. Let's have another go. There we go. So that was the passage you heard read. And I don't know if your heart sank a bit, because maybe you're one of those people who is really good at doing the practical stuff. And sometimes we get the idea that the kind of competition is between Martha, who does all the practical stuff, and Mary, who just sits sedately at the feet of Jesus. And you might find it very difficult to sit sedately. You know, I like doing things. I like making things happen. I love making preparations like this, you know, PowerPoints and using technology. And sitting still for me is not necessarily very easy at all. So it depends who you are, doesn't it, what your personality is. But there is actually a lot more going on here than just this kind of contrast between the two people. As I said, they had an open house. So Martha was brilliant at making food, at cooking, at baking, at providing food for people. Very important in Jesus' culture. I don't know if you ever noticed, but in Revelation chapter 3, the invitation that we're given when Jesus says, "I stand at the door and knock," like he's standing at the door of our lives knocking, he says, "I will come in and eat with you, share a meal with you." So food was really important in their culture. Jesus often used food to teach people, to help people, to reconnect with people. After all the disciples had run away when the crucifixion was happening, Jesus used breakfast on the beach to draw them back to him. I don't know whether they had a bacon butty. Oh no, they're Jewish, so they wouldn't have had a bacon butty. But you know what I mean? They had a great breakfast. They had fish, didn't they? That's what they had. They had a great breakfast on the beach together, and Jesus used that food to draw them back, to offer them a new start, forgiveness, change, redemption, all of those things. But food was vital. So Martha did brilliant stuff. Don't know if anyone here has ever helped with a food bank. But I think Martha and Mary were probably involved with that kind of work in Bethany, helping people who didn't have much. And but what is going on here is there's lots of layers. You can read it in lots of ways. There's definitely something about being still with God. But there's also something else. This is there, Mary and Martha from The Chosen. And I've put up here that they had different personalities. And we all have different personalities. And I think that's one of the challenges when it comes to being a Christian, to realise that not everybody is going to follow Jesus in the way that you do. Because one of the things Jesus doesn't want to do is squash you into a box. You know, if you're someone who loves science or sport or making things or fixing things or baking and cooking, our daughters, they love both love baking and cooking. And, you know, whatever gift you've got, reading, maths, all that stuff, Jesus isn't going to squash it into a Christian box. He's going to use it because it's vital in the world, isn't it, to help him to spread. We do it with his help, basically. So they have different personalities. And I just wanted to jump ahead. I haven't got the passage here. But in the next chapter after this, we get that vital chapter where Jesus raises their brother Lazarus. Lazarus dies. And Jesus arrives late. They send a message to say, could you come? Because Lazarus is ill. But he deliberately holds back. And when he arrives, Lazarus has died. And what we find is the two sisters respond differently. Martha, I think, is someone who speaks her mind. No nonsense person. She comes running out to Jesus. She says, where were you? If you'd have been here, he wouldn't have died. And Jesus says, you know, I'm the resurrection and the life. And she says, I know that at the end of time, but I think basically what she's saying there is, I want my brother back today. I don't want to wait till the end of time. You could have saved him. So she speaks her mind. Mary stays inside. She doesn't go running out. You know, she's someone perhaps who is more reserved, quieter maybe, I don't know. I put there, Martha speaks her mind. And we find that in this passage we had today. Martha going to Jesus saying, come on, tell my sister what to do. You know, she speaks, and you may be that person. We need everybody, don't we? Jesus called a couple of his disciples the sons of thunder, James and John. My guess is they were quite outspoken, had big mouths. They wouldn't have made good librarians. Do you know what I mean, James and John? They were noisy. But Jesus loved that. He didn't say, can you be a bit quieter if you're going to be a Christian? He said, great, you just use your personalities, you know, they won't shut up about me. I'm not someone who's good at talking one-to-one with people about Jesus. I'm just not. But if you give me a microphone and this setting or a PowerPoint, I'm fine. But some people are brilliant at one-to-one. So we need all kinds of people, don't we? We need all of us. So they were different. And I don't want to be hard on Martha here, because it's very easy to say, well, Martha got it wrong and Mary got it right. They were doing who they were. And it's interesting, Jesus' response here. See, Martha has a precious gift of hospitality. And as I say, Jesus often went to her home for rest and time out. It was vital to him. Vital. And also, if you notice, if you read the accounts of who was there when Jesus died, well, they were really close friends to Jesus. Mary, Martha and Lazarus are not mentioned. They're not at the crucifixion. That's most likely because they were still in Bethany, because that's where the disciples were going to go back to after the crucifixion happened. When they all ran away, they probably went back to Bethany. That's the likelihood. That'd be the place they'd run to. So Mary and Martha, with their open house, were able to welcome back these disciples who were in a terrible state. Really in a terrible state. And maybe John took, on the cross, Jesus says to John, look after my mum. Because Jesus' mother would probably have been having a breakdown. It was a terrible situation. And John says, look after her. So maybe he took his mother back to Bethany as well. So it became this vital place of comfort and welcome. And Martha offering all of that, really. Mary, you see, one of the things she's doing, she is behaving like a disciple. It's not just that she's sitting quietly listening to Jesus. She's in a room full of men. That was shocking. Mary sitting in a room full of male disciples. Oh, you didn't do that because people gossiped. One woman in a room full of men, oh, they could make up all kinds of stories about what that was happening there. So Mary is very courageous. She's sitting there learning from Jesus, listening to him, absorbing it. And she has this great attitude of being open to learning. I don't know how open you feel you are, because we've all got a lifetime of learning, haven't we? That's one of the amazing things I discovered when I became a Christian, really. I thought that just become a Christian, all my life would be fine, it would all be sorted out, wouldn't have any more problems, I'd be brilliant at doing it. And then the more my life's gone on, the more I realised, gosh, a bit of a challenge sometimes, isn't it? I'm not running a 100 metres, I'm running a marathon. But there's so much to learn, isn't there, about what Jesus wants us to do in the world and how we can do it. And so Mary's got this attitude. She's wanting to grow. She's wanting to grow. I wonder, I sometimes ask people, what's the last new thing you learned? I wonder what the last new thing was that you learned. Was it yesterday? Was it a month ago? Could be a language, could be a skill, could just be a fact, you know? I learnt very recently, did anyone here watch Sort Your Life Out? You ever seen that programme? Do you ever see a hand there? It's where they go into someone's house and it makes you feel better about your house. Because their house is absolutely crammed and they desperately need help to get rid of at least half of it. So that's what they do in Sort Your Life Out. They lay it all out in a warehouse and they help them to get rid of half of their stuff. And at the same time, some other guys are fixing up their house, changing it, making it more kind of practical and better for them. And at the end of it, it's great, because you see them go back into their house and it's transformed. But the reason I tell you that is, I watch a podcast called The Rest is Entertainment, where you learn about all the stories behind the programs and films that you might watch. And they were telling us, there's a team of four on Sort Your Life Out, but not really. There's actually a team of about 20 other people who do a lot of the hard work that you never see. That's how these programs work, because they couldn't do it in a week without it. Another great fact I learned from The Rest is Entertainment. Anyone watch Call the Midwife? They get through a lot of babies on Call the Midwife. They have to be between 2 and 4 days old. They're only allowed to act for 10 minutes. They can only be on screen for 10 minutes, new babies. The new mother is obviously in the room. But they need loads of them, not least because if they've got a scene set up and then the baby they've picked is crying and isn't going to work, they've got to have a spare one ready, all of that. And there's a lady whose job it is to go round with her cards to pregnant mums in the street and saying, if you want your new baby on telly, give me a call. There's another fact I learned. So, you know, there's all kinds of things to learn about life, isn't there, really? But I wonder what the last new thing was that you learnt. And maybe keep tuned, because there's probably something new to learn today, later on, or in the service, or I don't know when it might be, but there'll be new things that you can learn. Now, one of the things Jesus says to Mary, if I actually could just go back here to the passage, towards the end there, we see verse 41, Jesus says, Martha, Martha. I don't know how you imagine him saying that. There's all kinds of ways he could say that. I imagine quite warmly and smiling, saying to her, Martha, Martha, you're worried and upset about many things. Anybody here get worried and upset about many things? Am I alone? I bet not. There's plenty to worry about now, isn't there? Anyway, but few things are needed. I think Jesus is saying there, you know what, we worry about loads of things. You see, the news doesn't help you, because it tells you about stuff on the other side of the world that you can do nothing about at the moment. You can pray, but you can't, worrying won't change it. There's few things that you can do with your life, isn't there, to make things better. And I think Jesus is saying that, you know, focus in on the things you can do, not the things you can't. And he's saying, indeed, one thing is vital. And he's talking about what Mary has chosen. And what she's chosen is to start with Jesus. It Doesn't matter what you're facing today or this week. Maybe think of some of the things that are your challenges, or it could be good things you're having to do. But things this week, start off by just offering it to Jesus and asking for his help. That's what Jesus is really saying here. Mary started at the right point. So I want to show you a little clip here from The Chosen. It's not about that scene. It's from John 5, where Jesus meets a man who's waiting at a pool because he can't walk. And he believes if he gets into the water, he'll be able to walk again. So this is a conversation Jesus has with him.
Shalom. Me? Yes. Shalom. I have a question for you. Pardon me. I don't have many answers, but I'm listening. Do you want to be healed? Who are you? We'll get to that later. But my question remains. Will you take me to the water? No. I'm here again eating that day. You've been having a bad day for a long time. So? Sir, I have no one to help me into the water when it's dead up. And when I do get close, the others step down in front of me. So, look at me. Look at me. That's not what I asked. I'm not asking you about who's helping you, or who's not helping, or who's getting in your way. I'm asking about you.
I tried.
For a long time, I know. And you don't want false hope again, I understand. But this pool, it has nothing for you. It means nothing. And you know it. But you're still here. Why?
I don't know.
You don't need this pool. You only need
Now, I deliberately stopped it there. If you want to know what happens, you have to read your Bible, I'm afraid. It's John chapter 5. But I want to focus on this whole thing about only one thing is necessary. Because in a way, Jesus was saying the same thing there that he says to Martha. He's saying, you don't need that water. What you need is me. I'm the starting point. And, you know, we all have our agendas, don't we? And we have our problems and we think this is how we've got to fix it. This is what's got to happen. And he is fixed on that water. He's saying, I've got to get to the water. I've got to do that. I've got to get into the pool. There's no one to help me. And that isn't what Jesus is focusing on. He's saying, do you want me to help you? Do you want me to help you? And he says that to us all. Do you want me to help you? That's the starting point. And I guess it's not always easy, is it? Because it takes a certain humility to confess we can't do it on our own. That's always the start with Jesus, really. Even if when we first become a Christian, we're starting off by saying, Jesus, we can't fix our lives on our own. We can't make it through life on our own. And that's why many people become Christians when they hit a rock bottom, when they hit a low point. They realize that it doesn't matter how strong we think we are, we're not strong enough. And actually that we need to come to Jesus and begin again. And whether or not, and as Christians, it's always the same, isn't it? Coming back to Jesus. He's the one that we need. Now, thinking about Mary learning from Jesus, I thought I would throw these in. I don't know if you have Bible apps that you use on a phone or tablet, but of course one of the ways to learn from Jesus and about Jesus is with the Bible. And the Bible's not necessarily easy to read. Lynn is currently working her way through the whole Bible by listening to it, and it's not always that thrilling, is it? There's long lists of difficult names, and you know, all this detail coming at you. You know, you've done Leviticus, haven't you? And you're now doing, was it Kings? You did one king after another. And so, you know, it's a dense book. Everything in it has meaning, but some of it, you've got to really read the background to find out why it means what it is. One of the things I remember learning is that when you come to a long list of names, part of the message is nobody's forgotten. No one is forgotten. You're not forgotten. You are not a nobody. Your life really counts. You're unique. You've been made by God. And he really cares about you. So just remember that, really. That's a great little message. But yeah, you can download these free apps. That's just a couple. Every Day with Jesus. Or that's called YouVersion. And they offer lots of different ways that you can read or hear the Bible. There's also a great organisation called the Bible Project. They do great visual ways through the Bible. They know loads about the Bible, but they help you to understand the deeper stuff. They've got great animators, and that's very accessible. Anyway, just thought I'd mention that, because nowadays, of course, if you'd like to take time to listen to Jesus, to learn from him, of course, it's about the Bible. You know, one of the ways that helped me with the Bible is when I became a Christian about 100 years ago, there was, it was 1981, I think it was. It was the very last century, wasn't it now? And they'd just done a competition called Sing Good News. I don't know if anyone here remembers it. And they did an album of the songs. They were worship songs people had written that used the direct text from the Good News Bible. I still know bits of the Good News Bible because they were turned into songs, and I listened to those songs. You can actually find it on YouTube. If you look for a Sing Good News album or something, you can actually find that album on YouTube. But I learnt it because I sang it, because we sang those songs. And I think often that helps. Those kind of things help get the Bible into us, so that when we need it, when we're worried or when we're lost or when we need a bit of guidance, it's there for us. Now, I want to finish by just thinking about sitting quietly with God, because I'm very grateful for the guy who came up to me once and said, you know what you should do, Dave? You should take some time each morning to just sit quietly with God. Not doing anything, not praying, not reading your Bible, just sitting with God. And that's part of what Mary's doing here. And I remember someone else said to me that when you sit quietly with God, it's like sunbathing. And it doesn't matter what your mood is, if you're worried, if you're at peace, it doesn't matter how you feel. If you sit in the sun, you'll get a tan. And so it doesn't matter how you feel, how much faith you've got, anything like that. If you take time to sit with God, something of God will rub off on you. Something of his nature. And that's what Mary's doing. You see, they had a phrase with rabbis when Jesus was around. The dust of the rabbis. And it was this idea that if you followed around a teacher like Jesus, his dust as he walked would shower you. And that's what they wanted. They wanted some of his dust on them. And it was a kind of a picture of his teaching. If you follow him and his life, you'll learn to be like him. That's why Peter walks on water, because he wants to be like his rabbi who can walk on water. So that's the thing, you know, we follow Jesus, become a bit more like him each day. And I put this up here because this is what I think about with it. We may think we're not doing anything if we're not praying or reading our Bibles, but time is such a precious thing to many of us. So if you give God 5 minutes of your precious time, you're giving him a precious thing. And maybe one of the most precious things in your life. 5 minutes of quiet, just to sit with God and let him just sink into you a bit. And I know it's a strange thing for some people, because many of us think of praying as words and worship as singing, but there is quiet as well. there is quiet. And there's lots of bits in the Bible which encourage us to do this. Those who wait on the Lord, Isaiah 40, will renew their strength. Waiting with God. Got some more here. I don't know what is your still waters. Maybe something to do while you're out walking. Maybe you like walking out in the countryside. You know, I heard someone say once that they felt closest to God when they were surfing, because they loved surfing. And there'll be different ways that you get a sense of God with you. But I put up these verses here. This is from Song of Songs. My loved one is hiding behind some rocks, behind an outcrop on the cliff. Now, I love this verse because I think this challenges how we see ourselves. God said, excuse me. God says, let me see you, let me hear your voice, for your voice is pleasant and you are lovely. Doesn't matter how you see yourself, that's how God sees you. He loves you like that. And then in Hosea, thinking about the quiet, God says, I will lead my people into the desert, away from the Wi-Fi, if you like. I will lead my people away from their phones and speak tenderly to them. I mean, obviously, I don't want to touch your phone there, Barry, but phones have Bible apps, so that's great. You can read your Bible, but sometimes you want to put your phone down, don't you? Just let God use the silence. So I'm going to finish with a little video. It's got some words from Psalm 8. Starts off with lots of noisy clutter that you hear in the world, and then it slowly moves into a quieter time. So I'm just going to take this just 2 minutes or so, just to lead us into a time where we're just going to sit quietly for 20 seconds or so at the end, because there's actually music and noise on the video, but it will lead us into a moment of quiet. I'll just say a little prayer. Lord, thank you that you can speak to us in so many ways. And thank you that here in this room we have lots of people like Martha, lots of people like Mary, and lots of people like Lazarus and James and John and Joanna and all those other followers of you. We're all different. So Lord, speak to us now in these little moments where we're just calming and quietening ourselves, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Just going to swap over to the technology.
And we're going to sing our final song now. Bless this.